Good morning. Last week we discussed how to rob a bank. Today, for those of you who are not quite as ambitious, we're going to talk about how to steal a car. Now, what we alluded to last week is that for a person to become a goslin, you have to do a maisa gezeila. You have to actually do an action, a kinyan, in order to become a goslin, in order to be responsible for the item. Now, typically, the way to do it, there's a mashicha, there's hagbah, there are different kinyanim that you can make. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim, and that is, when you do mashicha, that's when you pull an item, that is a typical kinyan for metalkalin. So halacha is, mashicha is kaino, is certainly kaino in the rishos of the kaino. Mashicha does not work if it's in the rishos of the makna. And mashicha does not work in rishos harabim. Which means if you want to buy something, or if someone gives you a present in the street, if you're in the middle of the street, you have to do a hagbah, you actually have to lift it. Pulling the item, doing mashicha, is not sufficient for a kinyan. Now based on this, the halacha is, if a ganav breaks into someone's house, and he takes the item, and he starts dragging it, as long as he's still in the victim's property, although he's done mashicha, he's pulled it, since it is in the rishus of the owner, there it is certainly not a kinyan. Masha'enkein, if he would bring it to his house, and now in the ganav's house he does mashicha, at that point it would become his, he would become a goslin. What? Okay, it's pikadin is different. It's a shomer, a shlichus yad. Now, what is halacha about mashicha and rishus harabim? If you're in the street and you pull something in the rishus harabim, so normally, if you want to buy something, mashicha will not work in the street. It only works when it's your rishos, or chatzar shotfim, or in a simta. However, middle of the street, mashicha will not work. There's a machlokes rishonim, what the halacha is by a ganav. If a ganav does mashicha in rishos harabim, so according to some rishonim, it doesn't work. The same way a regular person cannot buy something by doing mashicha in the street, the ma'aseh mashicha is not a kinyan in Rosh Hashanah for a geneva, for a ganav as well. Other Rishonim argue and say geneva is different. You do not need the same action or the same parameters as a typical kinyan, and doing mashicha even in Rosh Hashanah will be a good kinyan. Now, I was thinking about a good example of this halacha, and in truth, it's not so negeya, because typically when a person steals something, he lifts it up. When you lift it up, when you do hagbah, that hagbah is a kinyan wherever you are. And therefore, in most cases where you lift it up, this shaila is academic, you will become a ganav as soon as you lift it up. However, on the way here, I was thinking, is that say, during this year, your car is parked outside. Someone goes ahead, breaks into the car, hot wires the engine, and drives off. The fellow drives to his house, he parks in front of his house, he goes inside. And then there's an oinus, then a lightning strikes, someone else steals it, something else happens to the car. Is the car thief responsible for the car or not? What's the shaila? How did that person become a ganav? What kinyan did he do on my car? He took the car, he didn't lift the car, it's rather heavy. Elamai, what did he do? By driving it, that is the equivalent of doing mashicha. The problem is, he drove the car from my house, he drove it through the street, and he parked it on the street. So l'chayra, any time someone steals a car, according to many Rishonim, he will not be a ganav, because he did not do any ma'aseh kinyan. Do it. So bishleima, if the ganav takes it, and he drives it into his garage. So once he drives it into his garage, now he has a kinyan chatzar. Kinyan chatzar works. Now even over here, the Ktzayis has a chiddush. The Ktzayis says that even though kinyan chatzar is a person's chatzar works, he says you need a ma'isa as well. So therefore, actually driving into a chatzar would certainly be a ma'isa. So you drive it into your garage, it certainly would be a ma'isa kinyan. Even if something comes into your chatzar by itself, your next door neighbor's kids are playing ball, someone smashes a home run right into your property. So the Ktzayis says that even if you stop the kids from coming into the property and you have das to keep it, the Ktzayis says the kinyan chatzar does not work, you need a maisa gezeila. But if you lock the door, if you drive it, if you drive it into the chatzar, or if it's in there and you lock the door, you lock the fence, that would certainly be a ma'isa kinyan. You'd have a kinyan chatzar. However, in our case, the fellow parked the car in front of his house in the street. So l'chayra, if you're dealing with if your only thing that you did is meshicha, the fact that you schlepped it here, l'chayra, this is a machlokes rishonim, and the gazlan can say, I'm off the hook, I'm chatzar. Like this. So Mashiach works in the reshus of the person who's buying it. Someone comes to your house to sell you something. So as soon as you do a Mashiach, that would be a kinyan. It also works in Rechatzah Shel Shotvim. And now the third case, and this is really what will help us over here, there's a concept of a Tzidei Reshus Arabim, which is, although Mashiach will not work in the middle of the street, the Tzidei Reshus Arabim, a Simta, which was a place it was somewhere a quasi Reshus Arabim, it was part of the street, but people didn't walk there, and it was acceptable for people to be mishtamish with that mukkin. So there, although it's technically owned by the public, it is not in Benegei Hilchos Mashiach. It has a din of a reshus hayochid, and you can make a kinyan because it's a place where you're allowed. You can use that area. Now, l'chayra yesh leimer that if you parked on the side of the street. Although the middle of the street where people drive certainly has a din of Reshus Arabim, and certainly Mashiach will not work. However, if you park on the side of the street, that is a place where the side of the street is not a place where the Rabim travels, and it is a place where people, it's there for people to use, to stop and to use and to park their cars. So Yesh Ladin, that there Mashiach will work, because this is a Tzidei Reshus Arabim. So when you actually park on the side of the street, there it's talking Lakulayama, there you become a ganav.
You mean that outside the sidewalk?
Correct. That area, even though it's technically part of the street, which Tzidei Reshus Arabim was owned by the public, since that part of the street was not made for people to travel, it's made for people to stop and to do whatever it is they do. So that is a din of Tzidei Reshus Arabim where Mashiach works. The side of the street, which is not made for people to drive, it's made for people to park over there, arguably would have that status, and Mashiach would work. So it would come out a very interesting halacha, that if while you're driving and oinus happens, you perhaps can be off the hook, you can say, I'm not a ganav. The moment you park the car in Tzidei Reshus Arabim, is very yitach, and at that point there'd be Mashiach, and there, l'kulayama, you would be chayiv. Okay, that would be a chiddush, but I'm actually driving there. There is a, no pun intended, there is an esivus that says that by a sholosh shloimidas, he says you can become a sholosh shloimidas in two ways. Either you can do a ma'isa kinyan, which would be the hagbah, meshicha, chotzer, whatever kinyan you choose. Zok the esivus, hishtamshos is also enough to become a sholosh shloimidas. So therefore, according to this nesivus, it would come out that anytime you're mishtamish with a chefetz, even though you do not do a technical ma'isa kinyan, that'll be enough to become a goslin. Im kein, it's pashut over here. If you actually drive the car, that is certainly a hishtamshus. So according to this nesivus, that you would become a goslin even if you do not have any technical kinyanim. And Pesachei Choshen brings down this nesivus. He's medayik that perhaps the Machane Ephraim and some other achroinim don't agree with it. But l'maisa, we have this nesivus. We also have, even if the idea that Mashiach doesn't work in Reshus Arabim by gzeila, that itself is a machlokes. So it could be you can between the two of them you can be mechayev, and especially when you park. But this just illustrates, and this is an example of to become a goslin. It's not just enough the fact that the person is a bad person with nasty intentions. You do have to make a ma'isa kinyan, and in the absence of a ma'isa kinyan, you are lav dafka going to be responsible for an oinus that happens to the item. Now, at this point, we're going to skip because this is the last year before Pesach. We're going to skip over the halachos of shinoy and shinoy reshos, shinoy ma'isa. We're going to discuss some of the chiyuvei hashava, and as we're going to see, it's a fascinating sugya. Chazal were very concerned about making it easy for a ganav to do tshuva. And we're going to see gzeira after gzeira after gzeira in order to encourage and to make it easy for a gazan to do tshuva. So let's begin with the basic halacha. As we all know, there's a chiyuv heishav, there's a gzeila. A person steals something, he has an obligation to return the item. He has to return the actual item. If the item's destroyed, he pays money. But he is not. He can't. It's not enough just to ask for mechila, just to do tshuva. Person has to actually give back what he stole. Now that being said, let's use a standard example. You have a fellow by the name of Bernie Madoff. For a couple of decades, he's running his Ponzi scheme. One day, he calls together a shareholder meeting. He gets all of his investors in the same room and says, Rabbi Yisai, I have an announcement to make. You all think you have $50 billion invested with me. I'm really sorry to tell you, this has been one big Ponzi scheme. It's a sham. There's absolutely nothing left. I really feel bad about it. I've been learning Hilchos Gezeila. I've had Hirurei Tshuva. So Rabbi Yisai, please be meichel me. So as you can imagine, he will get a very mixed reaction from the crowd. But the general consensus will probably be no problem. Return the $50 billion, and then we'll talk about the mechila. But first things first, let's get our money back. Zakta Gemara and Bava Kama, an incredible Gemara. Gemara says there was a story where there was a ganev. That was his profession. And one day he decided to do tshuva. So he tells his wife that he's going to do tshuva. He's going to go ahead, he's going to return all of his stolen goods. And his wife told him, Reka, idiot, if you're going to go do tshuva, you're going to have to give back literally the belt off of your body. You'll have absolutely nothing left. How can you do tshuva? He heard that, he said, you're right, and he didn't do tshuva. Zok the Gemara, Bo'isai Shah, they made a gzera that a gazlonim and malve beribis. If you have someone who is either a malve beribis, he runs a bank, he's been for years, his parnasa is charging people interest, then he's been over the asaribis. Or a gazlan, a thief, a guy who goes around, he supports himself by stealing money from other people. The halacha is, if they come to do tshuva, ein makabel mimenu. You are not allowed to be makabel the goods. You have to tell him, amoichel, keep the items. This is an incredible takana. You have a ganav who took things shalai kedin. But because we're afraid that he's not going to do tshuva, Chazal made a takana that when he comes to return the stolen goods, you're supposed to say, no, keep it, amoichel, it's okay. Now, this takana is a recommendation. It's a ruacham noichi imenu. We can't force you. If the victim wants to accept the money, he has the right to. The gazlan certainly owes the money to the nigzel. Nevertheless, Chazal said a person should not accept it in order to make it easier for the gazlan to do tshuva. So it's a pity Mr. Madoff didn't come to this shir a couple years ago. Could have saved himself a lot of agmas nefesh. And this seems like a nice plan. Go ahead. Continue the scheme run it for as long as you can. And then you have a very simple eitzah. You can go do tshuva. And you get to keep all the goods, all the winnings. Sounds like a plan. So over here, there are a number of conditions that the Rishayim make for this halacha. The first halacha is this: the sheet of Taisvis, which is not halacha, but Taisvis holds that this is only a takana for that generation. Because there was a specific story with this person who wanted to do tshuva, so Chazal said, okay, that's it. Because of the takalo that came out, you can't accept the gzela. However, Taisvis says he brings many rayas throughout Shas, and he says, halacha l'maisa, we see bate din ar dan dine gzela. So therefore, the Taisus says it was only for that generation. It's not a takana that remains today. Now, most Rishonim reject this, and halacha and Shulchan Aruch, this is brought down. And therefore, we hold it up, even today, this takana will apply. Okay, this takana is you shouldn't do that. That takana is you should say, I keep the money, I don't want it back from you. Now, if a person says, I'm not listening to the takana, he has the right to do that. He's going to be over al direi chachamim. But if he says, I want the money, the gazan has no choice. He has to pay him back. No. Midin Shemayim, the Chazal did not say you don't owe the money or that you tshuva doesn't require the hashava. Chazal, it's a takana on the victim. That the victim, in order to help the gazlan, should be moichel and say, keep it. But if the victim doesn't do that, the gazlan has the regular chiyuvei hashava as before the takana.
If the victim
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so like this. If a person steals, and now he does tshuva, and he's ready to pay the victim back, and the victim says, keep it, I'm oichel you, mechila does work. Now, the Torah says, and it's really from the Gemara, that if the gazlan says, no, I insist, I want to be yoytz machiv de shemayim, take the money, then the victim is allowed to take it. Now, what that implies is that bidei shemayim, even after the takana, there is an inyan in bidei shemayim to go ahead and say afal pikein and to pay it anyway. So, how to be magdir? It's certainly the Chazal are telling you that it's a good tshuva. And if the victim says you can keep it, you're allowed to keep it. But it's a maila in the tshuva, and a gazlan that's concerned with the shemayim should say afal pikein and should try to give it back according to the Torah. Halacha is he's not nimcha. A gazlan, whenever you deal with a mazik or a gazlan, the halacha is even after you return the gzela, you still did an aval to him. You still need mechil. And if he's not moicho, you have to try again, try three times, or like any other aval ben adam lechaver. This being said, there are a number of conditions to this halacha. The first, and Taisus really points this out, that this is the halacha is only when the gazlan on his own wants to do tshuva. He has a hisayrus, a tshuva, he realizes what he did was wrong, he comes to the victim, he says, I want to pay you back. At that point, the takana is, to make it easier, you should say, keep it, amoich. However, if the gazlan is oimid b'merdoi, and he gets caught, Bezdin catches the fellow, there's no such takana. The takana is only to encourage him to make it easy to do tshuva. If you're being forced, you were caught, and there, it certainly will not apply, and there certainly will, Bezdin will force him to pay back everything that he took. Now, Taisus points out, this is easy in theory, in practice, it is very hard to know exactly what was going through his mind. Was he doing tshuva, or is it just he was afraid of being caught? Meister Rishayim say, you have to look at each case. If Mr. Madoff, his bank account was down to zero, and it was clear that he would have been caught in a short period of time, and now he's doing this in order to be just to save himself, then you would not say this halacha. Masha'in Kane, if he has plenty of money and he's doing it simply because Hitaka has charot and he wants to do tshuva, there the halacha would apply, and in theory at least you would not be able to accept it. Now the second condition is that this applies only when the item is no longer around. Someone, a ganav, stole your silver 20 years ago, it's long gone, it's been sold, it's been melted down, the money is gone, there's nothing left. Now, afal pikein, if a person steals something, he has a chayiv. He has to pay back the nigzal whenever he gets caught. So there, Chazal said, in order to help his tshuva, don't go after him, and be moichol l'chiyav damim. However, if the item that he took is still be'en, he steals your silver and it's still sitting in his house, certainly there this takana does not apply, and he has an obligation to return the item that he stole. Now, the Shitu Mikubetis adds, this halacha applies not only if the item is physically there, but if he stole your silver and he sold it, and that money is still be'en, that money is still sitting there, he sold it, he's got a wad of cash that he got from it, so there that would have the same halacha, the takana would not apply. Takana is only when the item is gone, the chalipin are gone, now it's just a distant memory, it's been long spent. So then Chazal said, don't be moichel, don't ask to get paid back. Imkein, yesh lodoin, if you go back to our Madoff case, so what was Madoff doing? He was running a Ponzi scheme. People were giving him money, and this money, instead of being invested, sat at his account, which he used. So what would come out is that if any money that he has in the account, there it's a davar pasha, this takana would not apply. Because that money is be'en. It's either the actual money that was stolen or it's chalipin, because it was deposited in a bank account. That's a separate issue. So there, any money that's still around, certainly the takana would not apply. The whole issue would be money that was already spent. So then if he came to do tshuva, if he did it in good faith, then you would have this takana. No, chalipin is be'en. The sheet in Mikubetis is mechadish that chalipin has the same din of be'en. It's when you get past that, chalipe chalipin, or money that was already spent, it was you ate it already, it's gone, there already we have this takan. So if you stole something and then you use that money and eventually ultimately you invested in, ultimately you bought a belt, then in a chanami, then that would not have to be returned. The last tenai is that this applies only to a professional ganav, where that was his parnasa. Mashenke is someone who has a day job, and here and there he's nichshal, he goes ahead and he steals from people here and there. So there, where it doesn't represent a good chunk of his net worth, that's not his parnasa, there this halacha does not apply. It's only when, in a case like Madoff, where his whole parnasa was stealing from people, so then if we force him to pay it back, it will be very hard for him to do tshuva, and we're afraid that he won't do tshuva. But the occasional thief, there we do not need to make a takana, there he's capable of paying it back, and therefore the halacha is, we certainly are makamu mimenu. Now here, over here, the Shach has, it brings down from the Sefer Chassidim, that what happens if the victim is not such a wealthy fellow himself? He owes other people money, he's perhaps behind on his tuition. Someone stole from him 15 years ago, and now wants to pay it back. Problem is, a mekamim menu, the person wants to do tshuva, you're not supposed to accept it. Zokta Sefer Chassidim, no. The din of a mekamim menu is, the victim, in order to help the gazan do tshuva, should be meichel. That's a din on the victim, should be moichel his money to help the gazan. It's a chiddush, but that's the din. However, if the victim owes money to somebody else, he has no right to go ahead and do this midas chasidus, be moichel the gazan, helps it's a beautiful mitzvah, helping a yid do tshuva. But if by doing that, you are not going to be able to pay back your creditor, so you are doing this mitzvah on your creditor's cheshbon, and that you can't do. So whenever the nigzal owes money to someone else, there this takana does not apply. There adarabe should take the money from the gazlan in order to satisfy his debts, in order to pay his obligations, and he cannot do this mechila when someone else is going to suffer. This is the takana sashavim. Again, ikar hadin, a gazlan always has to pay it back. In order to make it easier to do tshuva, Chazal said, the victim should be moichel. If the item is be'en, if it's still around, here this halacha will not apply. Now we come to takana number two. Takana number two is takana of Marish. And here we're dealing with a case where a person stole a beam. He took this beam and he built a house around it. Now when you steal an item, there is a concept of a shinui that we'll discuss after Pesach. If you change the item, at that point it becomes yours, you just pay back the money. However, the chavit is still be'en. If it hasn't been changed, you have to give back the actual item to the victim. Zakta Gemara. If you steal a beam and you build a house around it, although the item is be'en, it hasn't changed. It was a beam before, it's a beam now. But if you had to return it, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to knock down the entire house to get this beam to return to the victim. Zakta Gemara, Chazal made a second takana. That takana is marish. That if you built it, if you're going to have a hefsid, you do not have a chiyuv to take down the house, and you can just compensate the victim for the value of the beam that you took. So although normally when the item is be'en, there's no takana, you know, the first takana won't apply because the item is here. When the item is here, you have to give it back. There's no in of mechila. But over here, where the item was used, so although me'ikar hadin, you should have to destroy the house, Chazal said you don't have to, pay back the money, and that is enough to be yoytze your chiyuv hashav. No. If you steal an item, that item belongs to the victim. And you don't have the right to swap it and say, I'm going to give you a different one. So when there's no chiluk and he's not makbid, he doesn't say anything, so there we said for the Beis Ephraim, you're allowed to switch because of a zen and a zelo chaser. However, if he says, I want that beam, he has the right to do so. So that's, wait, if there was a difference, then the Beis Ephraim would never say it's halacha. So what you're arguing is it's a zen and a vezelei chaser. There's no difference to you. However, zen and a vezelei chaser generally just means after the fact. But before the fact, if someone can't walk into your house and say, I like this shirt, I'm taking it, I'm giving you a different one, because this shirt belongs to you. What right does he have to force you to give it to him? So even though you won't lose money at the end of the day, because you own the item, no one can take it away from you against your will. Now, you want to know what a reasonable nigzal say, okay, take it, I don't, you know, why should you have it? Perhaps, but we can't force. And if the nigzal wants to use this to negotiate, okay, you want my beam, that'll cost you $20,000. He has every right to do so.
Is that kind of still on the fact that there's no beams available? In other words, you're going to pay the nigzal the value of the beam.
Okay, good. So good. We'll get there. So like this. Now, this halacha, Tachanos Marish, you stole a beam and you built a house around it. Let's change the case slightly. You're building a skyscraper. You buy the property, you go through years of planning and build it. You know, it's 80 stories high. After it's up, the next door neighbor knocks on your door. And it points out that the surveyor made a mistake. And when he built this skyscraper, you went over 2 feet onto his property. The neighbor says, listen, this 2 feet belongs to me. So I want you to shave off 2 feet of the building, which essentially means knock down the entire skyscraper. What is the halacha? So l'chayr, this land belongs to him. You have no right to use his land. Bal karka. What? He also, he didn't know this. He didn't think the surveyor made a mistake. He just realized now that it was off. So Pidin, the land belongs to him. He has the right to say, get your building off my land, and I don't care how much you spent on this on building this thing. You built it on my land. Get rid of it. And your hefsid, okay, who asked you to build on my land? Aye, what about this takana? Yeah, the takana's marish. Nothing doing. Because takana was only by metalphalon. By karga, we do not have such a takana. And therefore, even though there is a tremendous hefsid, and even though there's no shinoi, the halacha is, the neighbor has the right to say, this is my land, get it off, I don't care what kind of hefsid you're going to have. Now, why don't we have a takana? Why not? Why are we more concerned about kazlanim who steal money doing or beams doing tshuva? Why are we not concerned about people stealing karka doing tshuva? So over here, there are different terutzim, but what the Levush says is, there's a very basic difference. Someone who stole beams or money, he had a tshuva. If you make it hard for him, what's going to happen? He just won't do tshuva, and nothing will ever happen. You'll never see your money. Ma'ishengen by karka, whether he wants to do tshuva or not, the karka is not going anywhere. And if the neighbor can prove that the survey was wrong and it's on his property, he's not going to have a choice. Bezdin will come in, they'll see it's in the wrong, and they'll force him to knock it down. So the what? Well, it's only 2 feet of it. I don't know how much 2 feet. How about the outer wall of a skyscraper doesn't have that much value? It's not his. So what comes out from the Levush, and again, you can learn it different ways, but I think what you see from the Levush, and going back to the point that you raised earlier, is that you see that Takanas HaShavim, we're doing it because we want the person to do tshuva. But there's another element here, and that is, by when a person steals money, if you don't allow him to do tshuva, chances are, this guy has been a professional thief for years. Chances are, if he doesn't do tshuva, the victims never get his money back anyway. So when Chazal made a takana, make it easier to do tshuva, and when he comes, be moichel. No one's losing all that much. Because in all likelihood, they wouldn't get it back anyway. Ma'ishengen by karka, where it's there, where although the goslin took it, and the case was, we're talking about now where there's a mistake, but even if he took it because he's a gangster, and he builds it, and you have no way of forcing him to give it back. But the way the Vush says, ultimately, I see them bali is royal lipo, ultimately the tide will turn, and ultimately you'll be able to get it back. In a case where you'll be able to get it back anyway, Chazal are not ready to force you to give up your thing to help him do tshuva. It's only in the case of Metalklin by Amarish, where if not for him doing tshuva, it's a good chance he'll never get it back, there we'll make a takana. But karka, which is there, it's not going anywhere, there's no such takana, and therefore Meker HaDin, you can force him to take it down no matter how big the hefset is. Now the Pislei Tshuva brings down from a Magen Mishnah, a tzad, that perhaps that this halacha is only when it's done, b'mezit, where a person is a goslin on karka, whatever that means, we'll have to discuss karka with gzeila later. But if a person takes it against the wishes of the neighbor, perhaps then there's no takana. But by a mistake, where it's a shayig, perhaps the takana applies over here as well. However, Piskei Tshuva brings down that there are a number of chalkim, and it's hard to force it. Along comes the Shaar Mishpat, and makes a beautiful cheshbon. If anyone here remembers from Hilchos HaShavas Aveda, we learned the halacha that if you're walking down the street and you have a barrel of honey, and it sprung a leak, and now it's coming out. Now, luckily, there's another fellow walking by with a barrel of wine, which is less expensive than honey. So halacha is that the Mishnah says that you have the Baal HaDvash can force the other person to spill out his wine, use the empty barrel to salvage the remaining honey, and then you pay the Baal HaYayin for his hefsid. Similar case, you have a Nechil Shel Dvayrim, you have a bunch of bees, and they take a field trip to your neighbor's property. Now, there's no way, you can't just catch the bees in your hand and bring them back, but there's a very simple way. If you cut off the branch that the bees are on, you can just bring it back to your property. Now, on one hand, you're going to save yourself the value of the bees, which are very expensive. On the other hand, in order to do that, you have to cut off your neighbor's branch. You're being mazik. You're stealing a branch from your neighbor. So over here, too, there's a takonos Yeshua, amunaskein hinchel Yeshua sa'aretz. When Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua said, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, but on the condition that in these cases, you have to allow the person to take your item to prevent a big hefsid. Imkein, Zok Tashar Mishpat, according to this halacha, this skyscraper is worth a few $100 million. The 2 feet of property that he took is worth a lot less than that. So Zok Tashar Mishpat, if you go with the Takana Siyah Yeshua, so the Takana will apply here as well, and will tell the neighbor that you have to give up this karka, you have the right, while the Baal skyscraper has to pay you for the 2 feet of property, since that is a minimal amount of money compared to the loss that the skyscraper will have if you have to knock it down, and therefore you have the right to say, here's your money for the property, I'm buying it off you, and my skyscraper stays. This is the Shaar Mishpat. The Erech Shai says, not so fast. And he makes a few points. He says, first of all, this Takonos Yeshua, as we mentioned back then, is a machlokes. And lahalacha, it is not clear at all that we go with it. When there's a suffix takana, in general, we go with the original owner maker hadin, and therefore the Baal skyscraper, the neighbor can say it's a suffix takana. You can't force me into this. Second of all, he says, what's the case? The case is the person's bees flew onto another person's property. Is that the bee owner's fault? No, it's an oinus. It's beyond his control. When an oinus happens, and now we can mitigate the loss by breaking off someone's branch, so there we have a takan. Zog the Erech Shai, that's only when there's an oinus. Over here, where you built it, where you were a shoygig or a peshaya, whatever the case may be, it doesn't rise to a level of an oinus, you should have been more careful. So there to be negligent and not to be careful, and then to turn to your neighbor and say, I want to use a takana, nothing doing. Takana is only when it's an oinus and we can save the loss, there perhaps we can force the neighbor to give it up. Mashengen, if it's just a shoygig, there the halacha is be more careful. You can't go ahead and just be reckless and with the expectation that your neighbor would bail you out afterwards. And therefore the Erech Shai says you will not have the takana, even the shitas that hold the takana will not apply it to here. Wait. And lastly, his last svar is he says, the takana is only by a branch. Or by a barrel of wine. If this wine spills, there's plenty of other wine that he can get. If he loses a branch of the tree, it's not a very big deal. You can give him another branch, it'll grow back. However, Zok de Erech Shai, when it comes to karka, if you take away these 2 feet of karka, you can't replace it. And now he has this less space. You can't force him to sell karka where he has a kapeda on because of this takana. The takana is only said by things which are fungible, that you can replace it, there's different wine, so it may not be the exact same, but it's the equivalent. Masha Enkein, that he wants this space, this is important to him, whatever his chesh may be, the Erech Shai says, there's no takana. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, in such a case, it seems according to Roiv Paiskim, that you, the takana will not apply. And if you build on someone else's property, he has every right to say, this is my property, and either cut a deal with me, or he can force you to take down the house regardless of the expense.